Chapter 10 Juan Chaco's world had cracked and crumbled to dust around him. The disaster in the valley of Viracocha was far worse than anything he could have imagined. His brother had been the first to be killed. The artifact smuggling operation was in shambles, and once the American archaeologist, Shannon Kelsey, and the university students told their story to the news media and government security officials, he would be thrown out of the Department of Archaeology in disgrace. Far worse, there was every possibility he would be arrested, tried for selling his nation's historical heritage, and sentenced to a very long jail term. He was a man racked with anxiety as he stood beside the motorhome in Chachapoya and watched the tilt-rotor aircraft come to a near halt in the air, as the twin outboard engines on the end of the wings swiveled from forward flight to vertical. The black, unmarked craft hovered for a few moments before the pilot gently settled the extended landing wheels on the ground. A heavily bearded man in dirty, rumpled shorts and a khaki shirt with an immense bloodstain in its center exited the 9-passenger cabin and stepped to the ground. He looked neither right nor left, the expression on his face set and grim. Without a word of greeting, he walked past Chaco and entered the motorhome. Like a chastised collie, Chaco followed him inside. Cyrus Saracen, the impersonator of Dr. Stephen Miller, sat heavily behind Chaco's desk and stared icily. "You've heard?" Chaco nodded without questioning the bloodstain on Saracen's shirt. He knew the blood represented a fake gunshot wound. "I received a full report from one of my brother's fellow officers." "Then you know Dr. Kelsey and the university students slipped through our fingers and were rescued by an American oceanographic research ship?" "Yes, I am aware of our failure." "I'm sorry about your brother," Saracen said without emotion. "I can't believe he's gone," muttered Chaco, strangely unmoved. "His death doesn't seem possible. The elimination of the archaeologist should have been a simple affair." "To say your people bungled the job is an understatement," said Saracen. "I warned you those two divers from Numa were dangerous." "My brother did not expect organized resistance by an army." "An army of one man," Saracen said acidly. "I observed the action from a tomb. A lone sniper atop the temple killed the officers and held off two squads of your intrepid mercenaries, while his companion overpowered the pilots and commandeered their helicopter. Your brother paid dearly for his overconfidence and stupidity." "How could a pair of divers and a juvenile group of archaeologists scourge a highly trained security force?" Chaco asked in bewilderment. "If we knew the answer to that question, we might learn how they knocked the pursuing helicopter out of the air." Chaco stared at him. "They can still be stopped." "Forget it. I'm not about to compound the disaster by destroying a U.S. government ship and all on board. The damage is already done. According to my sources in Lima, full exposure, including Miller's murder, was communicated to President Fujimori's office by Dr. Kelsey soon after she boarded the ship. By this evening, the story will be broadcast all over the country. The Chachapoyan end of our operation is a washout." "We can still bring the artifacts out of the valley." The recent demise of Chaco's brother had not fully pushed aside his greed. Saracen nodded. "I'm ahead of you. A team is on its way to remove whatever pieces survived the rocket attack launched by those idiots under your brother's command. It's a miracle we still have something to show for our efforts." "I believe there is a good possibility a clue to the Drake Kipu may still be found in the City of the Dead." "The Drake Kipu." Saracen repeated the words with a faraway look in his eyes. Then he shrugged. Our organization is already working on another angle for the treasure. What of Amaru? Is he still alive? Unfortunately, yes. He'll live the rest of his days as a eunuch. Too bad. He was a loyal follower. Saracen sneered. Loyal to whoever paid him best. Tupac Amaru is a sociopathic killer of the highest order. When I ordered him to abduct Miller and hold him prisoner until we concluded the operation, he put a bullet in the good doctor's heart and threw him in the damned sinkhole. The man has the mind of a rabid dog. He may still prove useful, said Chaco slowly. Useful? How? If I know his mind, he'll swear vengeance on those responsible for his newly acquired handicap. It might be wise to unleash him on Dr. Kelsey and the diver called Pitt to prevent them from being used by international customs investigators as informants. We'd be skating on thin ice if we turned a crazy man like him loose. But I'll keep your suggestion in mind. Chaco went on. What plans do the Sope Machaco have for me? I am finished here. Now that my countrymen will know I have betrayed their trust with regard to our historical treasures, I could spend the rest of my life in one of our filthy prisons. A foregone conclusion. Saracen shrugged. My sources also revealed that the local police have been ordered to pick you up. They should arrive within the hour. Chaco looked at Saracen for a long moment, then said slowly, I am a scholar and a scientist, not a hardened criminal. There is no telling how much I might reveal during lengthy interrogation, perhaps even torture. Saracen suppressed a smile at the veiled threat. You are a valuable asset we cannot afford to lose. Your expertise and knowledge of ancient Andean cultures is second to none. Arrangements are being made for you to take over our collection facilities in Panama. There you will direct the identification, cataloging, and restoration operations on all artifacts we either purchase from the local vaqueros or acquire under the guise of academic archaeological projects throughout South America. Chaco suddenly looked wolfish. I'm flattered. Of course I accept. Such an important position must pay well. You will receive 2% of the price the artifacts bring at our auction houses in New York and Europe. Chaco was too far down the rungs of the organizational ladder to be privy to the inner secrets of the Sope Machaco, but he well knew the network, and its profits were vast. I will need help getting out of the country. Not to worry, said Saracen. You'll accompany me. He nodded out a window at the ominous black aircraft sitting outside the motorhome, the big three-bladed rotors slowly beating the air at idle. In that aircraft we can be in Bogota, Colombia, within 4 hours. Chaco couldn't believe his luck. 1 minute he was a step away from disgrace and prison for defrauding his government. The next he was on his way to becoming an extremely wealthy man. The memory of his sibling was rapidly fading. They were only half-brothers and had never been close anyway. While Saracen patiently waited, Chaco quickly gathered some personal items and stuffed them in a suitcase. Then the two men walked out to the aircraft together. Juan Chaco never lived to see Bogota, Colombia. Farmers tilling a field of sweet potatoes near an isolated village in Ecuador paused to look up in the sky at the strange droning sound of the tilt rotor as it passed overhead 500 meters, 1,600 feet, above the ground. Suddenly, in what seemed a horror fantasy, they caught sight of the body of a man dropping away from the aircraft. The farmers could also clearly see that the unfortunate man was alive. He frantically kicked his legs and clawed madly at the air, as if he could somehow slow his plunging descent. Chaco struck the ground in the middle of a small corral occupied by a scrawny cow, missing the startled animal by only 2 meters. The farmers came running from their field and stood around the crushed body that was embedded nearly half a meter into the soil. Simple country folk, they did not send a runner to the nearest police station over 60 kilometers, 37 miles, to the west. Instead, they reverently lifted the broken remains of the mysterious man who had dropped from the sky and buried him in a small graveyard beside the ruins of an old church, unlamented and unknown, but embellished in myth for generations yet to come.